1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read a few verses here concerning where we are as far as the season that we're in and the soon coming of the Lord and what that means to us. I know that doctrinally we believe it. Someone that was visiting our church recently asked me for a statement of our faith, our fundamentals of faith. And so I got it for them and gave it to them. And as I had it in my hand, then cardinal doctrines that we believe in, such as the soon coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. We don't talk about that all that much, but we all, I think, recognize things are happening in our world, things are happening that we should see as signs that surely the Lord is coming soon. And it should be a reality to us, not just a something on a page that says this is our doctrinal statement, but the reality of what the Scripture says about the coming of the Lord and the soon coming of the Lord, and how, what kind of an attitude that we ought to have about it. Do we just kind of casually set it aside, not really thinking about it all that much, or considering the fact that the Lord could come, and He could come at any moment, and that the church needs to have that reminder from God's Word here tonight. Amen. I've told you before, I was raised up under a pastor that until I was a senior in high school, who had about a third grade education. And he was a great man of prayer and a real godly man. But he had, no matter what text he would take in to preach, he would almost always get around to three important doctrines that he would emphasize almost every weekend, almost every sermon. He would get around to these doctrines. Number one was the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Number two, the importance of holy living, living a separated life from the world. And then number three, the soon coming of the Lord. And when I spoke after when he passed away in his 80s, and I took part in his funeral service, I reminded the people of that brother's ministry and his message, and how that he would continually remind us of the importance of being filled with the Spirit, of living a holy life, and being ready should Jesus come, the soon coming of the Lord. So it wasn't just repetition, it was the burden of his heart. It was the message that he would proclaim again and again and again and again. And I thank God for that kind of an emphasis. Let's read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. The word there just means serious. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, I have on my phone a little weather app. I have a couple of weather apps. Because I look at one and I don't believe them, I'll look at the other one and confirm it with the other one to see. And oftentimes, they can predict fairly close as to what is getting ready to happen as far as the weather is concerned. They have a certain degree of accuracy, it seems, whenever they forecast rain or storm or whatever that it might be. They're able, through their professional predictions, determine what's going to happen. And they can warn us about some impending storm or wind or whatever that it might be. And but the coming of the Lord, according to our text here, the coming of the Lord is going to be something that's going to happen suddenly. It's something that's going to catch a lot of people unaware. A lot of people are living today and they're not expecting anything like that to happen. They don't expect it. They don't believe it. They don't believe what the Bible says about it. And so they don't expect that he's going to come. And this is what he spoke. The apostle spoke to this church at Thessalonica and told them, you have no need that I write you, because he had previously, in the first chapter, had given them warnings already concerning the coming of the Lord. So what he's saying really is, you don't really have to be reminded again, because I've already told you, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. If you've ever had a thief come to your house and steal from you, it's a terrible feeling. If it's ever happened to you, it's happened to me once or twice over the years. And but they never warn you. They never send you a text message and say, tonight's the night. I'm going to come. I'm going to take some of your precious valuables. No, they like the cover of darkness. And they like to catch you unaware. They like to catch you and surprise you and steal away with your possessions. The coming of the Lord is going to be like a thief in the night. That's how he's going to come. The world is going to be saying peace and safety, but then they're going to be caught surprised by sudden destruction that comes. Now, this is foundational. If you're sitting there thinking, what? I've not heard this in a while. This is just basic foundational doctrine to what we've always believed. Amen. We believe in the soon coming of Jesus Christ. We believe in the catching away of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we believe that Jesus is going to come. And we believe that it could happen at any time. I don't know that there are that many things that need to align as far as prophecy is concerned. I believe we're just right now living on the very edge of the soon coming of the Lord. So this is for those of us who have read the Bible, believe the Bible. We've heard it taught and preached over the years. And this is not fantasy. It may sound like, oh, that's just so far out there that Jesus is going to come in the clouds. That's just so far out there. And it may seem to those that are not Bible readers or believers, it may seem like a fantasy, but I want you to know that it's a fact. It's a fact of God's Word. And so because of that, then we need to check our attitude about this. We need to give thought to this, consideration of this important truth, and ask ourselves some questions. What should be our attitude when we think about the possibility that Jesus could come on Father's Day 2019. This day's not over. What should be the attitude that we should have as believers? Well, first of all, readiness. We need to think about readiness. Are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you prepared for the Lord to come? Matthew 24 and 44, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So this is no time to relax your commitment to the Lord. This is no time to let down on your intensity and your prayer life or your commitment to the things of God. This is the time to be seriously thinking about, considering, Lord, if you come today, am I ready? The early church, the New Testament church, now when we greet one another, we shake hands and we say, Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you, sister. We're glad to see you. God bless you tonight. We're glad to see you at church. The early church, when they met and greeted one another, their greeting was, Maranatha, the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh. That was their greeting. That was how they greeted one another, because they lived every day with the expectancy that Jesus was going to come. They believed him when he said, I'm at his ascension, this same Jesus that you see going away into heaven is going to come again. Amen. The question is, and our attitude that should be, and maybe it needs to be adjusted tonight around the altar, Lord, help me to consider this. Am I really ready for you to come? Now, my wife, if I'm going to invite someone to our house, she wants a warning. She doesn't want me to invite somebody unannounced. She wants a warning. And that's only a considerate, isn't it? To give her a warning and say, now listen, I've got such and such that's going to stop by the house. And that gives her the chance to make everything ready. Amen. Amen. The question is, are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you even thinking about the possibility that this thing could wrap up soon and that Jesus could come at any moment? Are you even thinking about that? This is something that's not promoted, not preached, not emphasized all that much among a lot of churches these days, but it's still important truth, and I would say essential truth for these last days that we need to think about, pray about, and we certainly need to adjust our attitude. So this is no time to let down on your commitment to God, your commitment to prayer, your commitment to a close walk with the Lord. In light of the coming of the Lord, in light of the possibility that he could come at any time, that should be a motivation to us. Amen. The scripture tells us that the coming of the Lord is a motivation to us. He that hath this hope in him purify of himself. That we have this blessed hope that Jesus is going to come soon, it ought to motivate us to clean up our lives, to separate ourselves from the influences of the world, and to draw closer to the Lord. Our attitude should be, Lord, you could come at any moment. I want to draw closer to you. I want to walk with you. I want to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in obedience to you, Lord, because you are coming very, very soon. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now little children, abide in him. Abide in him. That's talking about fellowship, closeness, with the Lord, drawing nearer to the Lord. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The call is closeness, fellowship. Draw nearer to him. Get closer to the Lord. Don't pull away. Don't be distracted or influenced by the ways of the world, but understand where we are right now as far as God's calendar is concerned, and understand that he's calling us to abide in him, to get closer to him, to draw closer to the Lord through prayer, through time in the presence of the Lord, through fellowship in the presence of God. Take advantage of these times to enter into these things. Why? So that when he comes, we'll be confident and not ashamed at his appearing, that we have prepared ourselves and we are walking in fellowship with the Lord. So readiness is an important attitude for us to have. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. For you see, when the Lord comes, then there's nothing you can't go back and redo. If you want your loved ones to receive a witness, then the time to do that is right now. Right now. Because when the Lord comes, opportunities are gone. If you have something you want to do for the Lord, some way that you want to serve, or some capacity that you want to contribute to the work of the kingdom of God, you're not going to be able to do that. When the Lord comes, opportunities are gone as far as earthly life, earthly ministry, and earthly opportunities. They're all going to be gone, that we may be confident and not ashamed before him at his coming. This means that we need to be daily living in his word, walking in the spirit, and that all of these voices that are around us, pulling at us, telling us, oh no, you can just eat, drink, and be merry, have a good time, don't worry about that. All these lying, seductive voices that are trying to tell you that you should not worry about living your life in close fellowship with the Lord, don't listen to those voices. Look to God's word. I challenge you, as you read through the New Testament, read through it with your heart focused upon the truths concerning the coming of the Lord. And you're going to find it all through the New Testament, all through the Apostle Paul's writings, all through the Gospels. You're going to find these repeated emphasis on readiness. Be ready. Be prepared. Live your life of prepared and ready for the soon coming of the Lord. Amen. That's the kind of life that we're to be living. A life of readiness. Amen. Should the Lord come. I told you that my pastor preached it hot and heavy when I was a kid. I mean, sometimes there was such an urgency in it that I, as a kid, would get scared that the Lord was going to come and I was going to get left behind. And I remember having a couple of times coming home and my mom was nowhere to be found, and I knew she was right with the Lord, and I knew that she was going to go in the rapture, and I couldn't find her, and I was scared because as a young person, I was living half-heartedly. Amen. I wasn't really all that committed to the Lord. I was half-hearted in my walk with the Lord. And I think that there's some value in us seeing where we are as far as God's time is concerned and God's calendar is concerned, to understand that Jesus could come. Young people, you may not have heard it all that much, but you may not live to be in your 20s. You may not live to be in your 30s. You may not get married. You may not have a family. Things may all be interrupted by the coming of the Lord. It could all get interrupted by the coming of the Lord. So don't get distracted by all these things that seem so important to you. God is able to work all the details of His will out for your life, but make sure that the coming of the Lord and your readiness for the coming of the Lord is a priority in your life. Lord, I want to be ready when you come. Amen. Amen. And also, the attitude that we should have concerning the last days is we should be reminded of the fact that even if we live out the days of our life and the Lord don't come until after we've lived out our allotted days, even those days, even if you live to be an old person, your life is really short compared to eternity. Compared to eternity. And I tell you, I hate to see, you know, the saints of God getting older. I saw Brother Jack Bright coming in this morning, and I could tell he's 87, almost 88. I could tell his strength, he's getting more and more feeble. And that's what happens to us all as we get older and older. But even however long that our life is here, the natural span of our lives, it's really short. It's really brief compared to eternity. If we should just think about the fact that even living out a life that's a long life compared to eternity, it should help us to realize that what we really need to be doing is preparing for eternal life, preparing for our home in heaven, preparing for the world that is to come. And if we spend as much time as we do, you know, worried about all the little details of this life, and we should certainly consider eternity and the length of eternity. Amen. Because you don't know when, but any of us could pray our last prayer this week. We could. This could be your last church service to ever be in. Could be. The Lord might come, or He might call you home before this week is over. This might be the last message you ever hear. This might be the last time that you're in the house of God. Maybe that opportunities are going to run out for you or for me. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to consider the brevity of our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days." Now, we can't count our days because we don't know how long that we're going to live. But we can look at how long that people do live, and the number of days, and even those that live to be very old, very elderly, even those days are short. Even their life is short compared to eternity. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. What does it mean that we would use wisdom in the use of the time that we do have? That we'd use the time that we do have and use it wisely, use it to advance the kingdom of God, and recognize the importance of a spiritual walk with the Lord and drawing closer to the Lord, because the Lord is going to come, and He's going to come soon, or He's going to call you home or me home, and we need to take advantage of what time that we do have. Amen. That's why the emphasis on prayer. It's not just something to do. We need to call upon the Lord. These are serious and urgent times, and we need to be a house of prayer. We need to be a house of prayer for all people and for all nations, because all around us are the masses of people. We mentioned this last week, something like at least 30,000 people just in our county that on any given Sunday are not in church. They're not connected to a church. And no doubt most of them aren't saved, don't know the Lord. That's just in our own little community here. Right here, 30,000 people at least, and likely even more than that, people that are not walking with God, not serving the Lord. And just that alone ought to burden our hearts to realize we need to be a house of prayer. We need to be a place that where people are praying for people and praying for the community and praying for the nations that are around us, because these are desperate times. And so many people are so far away from the Lord, and the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. And we need to think about that, consider that here tonight. Now, don't just take my word for it. I just want to challenge you to search the scriptures, to read the Bible, to spend time in the Word of God, and understand that it's a reoccurring theme all throughout the scripture that reminds us of the importance of living close, drawing nearer to the Lord, and giving our all to the Lord, because we know that our time is short. We know our time is short, and we must take advantage of the time that we do have. Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What kind of a reward do you want? I think it's talking about rewards. He wants to reward us in this life with fruit, spiritual fruit, and souls brought into the kingdom of God, probably even beyond that. God is a rewarder. Even in eternity, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so let's seek the Lord. Let's call upon the Lord with our whole heart. As I've said, pray at home, pray here at the church, and come on Wednesday nights. Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together as a body, as a church, and let's ask the Lord, Lord, we want to see many souls brought into the kingdom of God. We want to see the reward that you have promised to people who are willing to diligently seek the Lord. I pray that when Jesus comes, he'll find some faithful people, some consistent people who are seeking the face of God, and we are being used of the Lord to reach those. Amen. Ask the Lord as we seek the Lord. Ask the Lord to use you. Ask the Lord to use you in whatever capacity that he desires to use you. Amen. Every one of us. Amen. Young people, God wants to use you while you're young. He wants to use you, moms and dads, at whatever stage of life that you're in. Older folks, some of you that think you're too old to do anything, that's not true. This is not true. You're valuable to the kingdom of God, and God can use you in a lot of different ways, through the gifts of the Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit. He can anoint you. He can empower you. He can equip you. He can give you wisdom. He can give you the ability to face the challenges of this last day. Amen. This is a critical time. It's a very serious and a critical time, and we cannot be distracted from the main thing. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. And are we ready? Are we really ready? Are we prepared? Are we thinking about it? Are we praying about it? Are we seeking the Lord? Is it something that's motivating us to draw nearer to the Lord? I pray that it is. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth of your word. I know, Lord, that you are coming soon. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And I want to be found faithful. I want to be found doing your will, fulfilling your purpose, Lord, for these last days. Lord, these are critical times, serious times, and we need to hear your voice. And we know, Lord, that if we will diligently seek you, you have promised to reward us. You have promised to reward us. So, Lord, I pray that you'd stir your people up, Lord. Stir us up to see where we are in these last days and make ready for the soon coming of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.